All right, well, it's time for this week's Precious Metals Market Update. My good friend Tom Cloud is joining us on the line. Let's head over to that right now. This week's Precious Metals Market Update. All right, Tom, well, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's great to be back, Jared.
Yeah, well, good to have you here. You know, we've had a lot of questions about gold this week. Seems like since we've entered the month of May, we've seen gold obviously going down, but it seems landlocked in between these support and resistance levels of about 1525 and 1475. Some of the things that we were thinking was is if it does break through that 1475 support level, it could go lower, although it did bounce off of it earlier in the month, and of course it seems to be staying well above it. In fact, now it's floating back with that 1525 level. What do you make of the gold markets this week?
Well, they want the market to go down, the establishment does, but unfortunately there are fundamental issues with the announcement that China, you got to remember, here's a country with 1.3 billion people, like 4.5 times the size of the United States. And we talked last week about Fort Knox being built over there, their form of Fort Knox, and then this week we see they bought more gold mines in Australia. And, of course, their intent is to increase their reserves. The United States keeps 60% of their reserves in gold at Fort Knox, while China's under 2% and expected to move up to 10% during this decade. People say, well, Tom, why don't they just go in and move up to 10 or 20 or 30%? Well, that's the reason you see Tim Geithner and Bernanke and recently Nancy Pelosi trying to get involved, going back and forth to China, because if they did, they wouldn't be buying U.S. treasuries. So this battle continues on, but they're losing the war. They win some battles, but the real issue is that now that central banks all over the world are buying gold and not selling the 400 tons a year they're allowed to sell, everybody's a net buyer of gold. So the only issue then becomes temporary hurdles like we've seen. And then one other comment, you know, gold's now being referred to as the 2% a month miracle. Over the last 48 months, gold's gone up 96%. I was sitting in a bank yesterday down at St. Simon's where we're moving our office in a few weeks, and they had a CD there, 5-year CD for 2.5% a year, and a 1-year CD for 1.5%. And I'm sitting there thinking, here gold has averaged 2% every month for 48 months and still only slightly over 1% of Americans own it. So we are really building the excitement for gold this fall, and the move this past week back above 1525 signals to me that we're going to head back to that 1560 and probably higher. And then we saw James Turk on King World News last weekend calling gold's going to be the biggest summer surprise it's ever been. So, and James always has inside, not illegal inside information, but information on who's buying what. So don't be shocked if you see gold clear 1600 up to 1650 this summer.
You know, you mentioned the low rate environment that we're in, and I think the Fed has successfully done this. They've kept rates artificially low. And, you know, many people who aren't economists, who aren't in this field, they simply see low rates. You know, what I see as an economist, Tom, is the fact that money flows to the rate of highest return. People right now are in a huge move towards yield. They're looking for a way to make money. They certainly can't put it in the bank and make any money. And so they're looking for assets that will go up. And of course, this does drive some of the risk that we see right now. And some of the things that I hear banting around for next week are the continued sovereign debt worries that we continue to see out of the Eurozone. Obviously, even here in America, we don't like to talk about those. We love to talk about Europe's problems, but we don't like to talk about ours too often. But we all seem to have sovereign debt problems, and this is driving gold as well. Next week, in particular, looks like we're probably going to have even more bad news. This seems to be driving gold prices as well.
Well, it is, and you saw Friday the dollar got hit hard, dropped over 60 basis points, just exactly what you're talking about, just getting ready for next week, and certainly the dollar had to come back down. And some think it came back down where it could go back up next week. But like you said, we don't like to talk about our problems, but investors today, it's institutional investors that really are going to drive this market. You know, they're not worried about 0.5% returns like an individual worries. If they move out of a CD making 0.5% or 1%, you know, they feel like they're taking a risk. Well, you know, these money managers and institutional investors, and following what the University of Texas did and what Northwest Mutual Life Insurance Company did, they're now being not only tempted, but they're almost being mandated to put some small percentage of money into gold. So we've got that issue going on. We've got the sovereign debt issue going on, and are continuing to raise the debt ceiling in the United States. And it's just like every week, this conservative Republican Congress just keeps letting this thing be raised. And people say, well, they have no choice. Well, I agree with that. You know we're not going to close the government down, but it's just not, if you don't step forward and do something at some point, it's going to get worse. But I'm with you. I think next week could be some of the surprise that James Turk is talking about.
You know, there's a lot of people that we get questions from about George Soros in particular. I don't know why this numbskull continues to make so many headlines. Of course, he's very wealthy. Of course, he's made a lot of great bets in his life. But the man lives off of publicity. That's why he's made so much money. He publicizes his calls. He's called for the death of the euro. Of course, he was shorting the euro at the time, conveniently. And he just tends to move in directions based upon his own self-interest. It shouldn't be a surprise, but we continue to get questions here about people saying, look, I heard George Soros sold all of his gold. And what many people don't understand is that he also at the same time bought into gold mining stocks. He kind of repositioned his portfolio, so to speak. But there are many other hedge funds like John Paulson, the one he runs, and many of these other hedge funds that are heavily in gold. You have the University of Texas taking delivery of $1 billion worth of bullion. I mean, we have a lot of action. And of course, as you mentioned, the China action is just unreal. The amount of gold, how they're actually outpacing almost the entire developed West in the demand for gold. So I wouldn't expect George Soros and his decisions to be a big factor in my decisions as I go forward. Now, what about the silver markets, Tom? As we look at silver, what do you see coming down the pike over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I still think silver is in that trading range, and I'm still not ruling out that it's going to go back for a triple bottom at 32, even though we had a very successful week this week and saw silver go up nearly $4, a little over $4 an ounce, like 10-12%. But as long as it stays, you know, the longer it stays below 40, bigger chance it's got to revisiting 32 one more time. I'm not saying it will do that, but I'm just saying to investors, it's a great price now, but it may get a little bit better because silver is definitely not having the same technical and fundamental issues that gold is having. So, you know, those that want to be real safe should just wait it out to the middle of July to early August and move in. You want to be in silver for the fall, though, because as I've said, every supplier is telling me there will be a time this year where they don't think they'll be able to take orders, because they're not going to take orders if they can't deliver the product, because they'll be obligated. If they take an order from me, from my clients, then they're going to be obligated to produce that product. So on that issue, I think you'll see premiums going up later in the year. But the smart thing for silver investors is just to buy it and not worry about it, or just wait 6 or 7 weeks from now and then move into silver, because we know what's happened the last 2 years, in particular 2009 and 2010, silver's moved up over 50% the last 4 months of the year in both of those years. I'm not saying it'll do that again this year, but I think it'll be a substantial move up the last 4 months.
Yeah, silver has certainly captured the imagination of the American investor who is seeking a return on their investment, so it's highly plausible that as we head forward, we're going to see that. How about palladium as we move forward? What are you expecting on palladium?
Palladium is almost ditto silver. You want to be in it. And I think right now it had a pretty good week, got back up at 750 I didn't check the close on Friday, but 750, 760 range during the week. So it had a pretty good week, but almost identical to silver. And I think it's the same thing. You just want to be in that market. And last year, I still get nice emails from people that never even heard of palladium. They heard it on this show and they bought it. It was up 97% last year. It was up 76 or 77% the last 4 months of last year. And once again, I'm not predicting those exact numbers, but I am predicting a substantial move up next week. So I think that's, you know, very important for all of your listeners to know that palladium for like 7 consecutive years, if you bought it in the middle of August and sold it in February, and that 6 months, every year it's gone up over 20%. So it still has seasonality to it, even though it's not quite as bad as it used to be because of the ETFs. So just be ready to save some money for palladium, because that is a great way to make a pretty sure 20% for 6 months.
Okay, so as we kind of just do a quick summary, gold is a buy right now, you're saying. Silver and palladium, maybe right now, but for sure in by the middle of August, by the end of August. Is that what you're...
Right, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, well, if our folks would like to contact you and find out how they can purchase gold and silver, palladium, or if they perhaps have bought some numismatic coins that they want to get values on and perhaps even trade with you, tell them how they can do so.
Well, they can call me at 800-247-2812. And for the listeners that haven't been listening, we're moving our office from the Atlanta, Georgia area, Duluth, Georgia, down to St. Simons Island, Georgia, on the 15th. We'll be closed for about 4 days, 15th of June, open on the 21st of June. And we will be beefing up our office with employees to help make it easier for me to get back to all the people. But if they'll just contact me on 800-247-2812, or if they would like to be added to my email blast to give them economic updates and precious metals market updates, they can just go to FTM Daily and click on the precious metals button and sign up for the free email blast. And we'd be happy to answer any of their questions if they want to email me at tgcloud@bellsouth.net, tgcloud@bellsouth.net. And then your last question is, the numismatic market took another blow this week. I didn't even mention it. Gold was going up, and because of another large problem, the premiums went down again on numismatic coins. So we've now gotten gold up this year 10%. And the numismatic index, I think, is up about 1.5% last time I checked it for the whole year. So it's not run anywhere near what gold. And that's only going to get worse, in my opinion, because people are not interested in collectibles, but are moving more and more to the investment and what the institutional buyers and insurance companies and University of Texas, those kind of people are buying.
All right, Tom. Well, until next week, we look forward to having you back.
All right, Jerry. Thanks a lot.